Welcome, all DC fans, to episode 188 of the DC Comics News Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Flicky, and with me today, back from an absence, is the great Steve J. Ray, the Nerd Encyclopedia. How you doing, Steve? So nice to have you back.
A.K.A. Hatman. It's lovely to be back. I've missed everyone so much. It was great to meet one of the team. I met the wonderful Seth Singleton in the flesh yesterday and his lovely wife. My wife and I went up to Wimbledon to do a bit of shopping, and we met there for a coffee and we talked for hours. It was brilliant. But now I'm back with my other brother from another mother, Big Bad Brad, and we're going to talk about 2023 in DC terms, aren't we?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of a year-end wrap-up, a little different than what we normally do. We're just going to kind of chat about what we thought about what was going on in the world of DC, movies, TV, and streaming, comics, and anything else that may come up. So let's jump in, Steve, and talk about movies. What were some of your best and favorite moments from DC movies this year?
I mean, as always, I think that critics and fans tend to poo-poo and knock a DC movie simply for being a DC movie before it's even released. Because what I saw this year, I loved The Flash. I really enjoyed it. I loved Shazam Fury of the Gods. I finally saw it, caught it on streaming this year. And I haven't had a chance to see Blue Beetle yet, but what I have seen has been great. I mean, I can't knock it. We'll talk about Merry Little Batman in the TV news, but I've honestly enjoyed those films more than the last 6 or 7 Marvel movies. But we're not here to talk about things we didn't like. I'm here to talk about positive things and things we did enjoy. I enjoyed both movies immensely. I'm looking forward to more next year, and I'm looking forward to seeing Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom hopefully next week as well on the big screen. So yeah, overall I'm pretty positive about the movies that came out. And the Doom That Came to Gotham animated movie, wow, that was absolutely fantastic. Thoroughly enjoyed them. What about yourself, brother?
Yeah, I think both Shazam and The Flash and Blue Beetle were all kind of, like you said, poo-pooed, and they shouldn't have been. Fury of the Gods was a fun, family-centered movie. That's what a Shazam movie
absolutely
is.
Yeah,
the characters were done well, the performances were well, it was a good time. And The Flash had some great moments. Seeing Michael Keaton back, I keep thinking of their little,
you know how I feel about that.
yeah that little tussle that you get into and Wayne Manor before we know who he is. That scene was fun. The cameos were great, and people complained about the CGI in those cameos. It didn't bother me, because I think it was clever that it looked kind of that way when they were doing the multiverse transitions. So I think that kind of worked. I think that was a smart move. Michael Keaton did a great job. I would like to see more of Supergirl. You don't want to focus on the negative, but I wasn't a super fan of the last cameo in the very end. Not the cutscene. I'm sure everybody.
I can see why. I can understand that. It was great fun, though.
Yeah, it was fun, but it just what I wanted was something that's going to lead into this new era of DC films that were, and it didn't quite do that. So other than that, I enjoyed The Flash. Blue Beetle, I'm surprised wasn't bigger than it was. That was another kind of family driven movie. Family was so important in that movie, and they had such great chemistry as a family. Now, you haven't seen it yet, but you'll see what I'm talking about. I think that should be a franchise. I think we should get a number 2.
Do you know what annoyed me about Blue Beetle? Is the amount of people who said, oh, that's just copying Ms. Marvel. I said, guys, Blue Beetle was around for years. Even the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle was around for years before Kamala Khan. And I adore both characters because they are, as you say, family-oriented heroes. So I don't know where these people get their information, or do they even bother reading anything before they start spouting?
Well, they don't. they just like to talk smack, and that's what we get. And it's a shame. I did see Aquaman as well, and I enjoyed it. I didn't quite enjoy it as much as the first one, but I really did enjoy Black Manta as the lead villain. I think that was a smart move, and I really enjoyed that part of it. But, you know, honestly, I think my favorite thing as far as DC movies go this year was James Gunn and casting news and everything that we're seeing going on with this next phase that's coming up, who he's cast. And, you know, as frustrating as it was, the strike was probably a really good thing overall for all movies, and that includes DC. You know, they came to an agreement now, and people are going to get paid more, it seems. You know, I'm not super up on the details, but I think that was a really good thing too this year. And I really liked how quickly we started getting news about the DC films as soon as the strikes were over. So that fills me with hope. I know we have a little whiles to wait, but lead me into 2024 feeling very positive about, you know, what's coming. And also, you know, Doom the King of Gotham was great. So was War World. So, you know, the DC animated movies are still top notch.
Amazing.
Nobody can touch the DC animated movies. So, yeah, I think overall it's been, despite what critics and the box office may say, at some point these were good films. And I think that they'll be revisited and liked a lot more, especially I think with Blue Beetle. I think Blue Beetle is going to be a film that people are going to discover and reevaluate down the line a little bit.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. And now let's move on to TV. What were some of your highlights for DC TV wise this year? Now, I know you might be a little different with your.
Yeah, because we get. So. We don't get all the content you do, but. I think the final season of Pennyworth finished earlier in the year and ended on a cliffhanger, which is horrible because it's not coming back. But again, I've got to give my awe and respect to the writing team and every single actor, and having met a lot of them even more so because I know how hard they work on that show. Superman and Lois, again, it's ending, which is heartbreaking because I loved seeing that family side of Superman. And again, I don't know why people are knocking, but I thought Tyler Hoechlin smashed it as Clark and as Superman. And Bitsy Tulloch's Lois Lane is just phenomenal. She's the perfect level of awesome mum and woman you do not want to mess with. She's just fantastic. So it's a shame that these shows ending, but hopefully that means new stuff's on the horizon. I love the final season of Titans. I'm halfway through the final season of... Doom Patrol, my favorite TV show of all time, and I've been told that the final few episodes are really gonna kick me in the feels, so I'm looking forward to that greatly. Again, we say about the DC animation, but on the whole, DC TV has been absolutely incredible. I mean, I know some people knock the soap opera elements of the CW, but they got more fans into comics and into these characters than just about anything I know. So anything that gets people reading comics, you know how I feel about that, because you feel the exact same way, is great. So fantastic. And I have to give mention, because again, it was completely out of left field, like nothing I was expecting. Merry Little Batman, I just thought was a riot. But that's not a kid's film. There are some dark moments and some proper adult humor in that, which I, as a fan, really enjoyed. So yeah, I thoroughly loved that film. I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm glad that that came out on a channel that's Universal with Prime, because we still are waiting for Max here in the UK. So on the whole, yeah, TV for me, what I did get to see here in the UK, fantastic. Really liked it. What was your experience over on the other side of the pond, my brother?
Yeah, I have to catch up on both Doom Patrol and Titans. I've heard a lot of good things about the... I think that might be one thing I would start in January, is finishing up season 4 of Titans. I, you know, as sad as it is that Lois and Clark is ending, I was impressed and happy that we're getting more episodes. I didn't think that was going to happen. And I really like the introduction of Lex Luthor. And I can't
because of the actor. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's great as Abraham. And any interview you see with him, he seems like a really stand-up guy. So I'm very much looking forward to that, and I'm glad that those episodes that we got this year were strong enough that they said, you know what, continue on. Because they didn't have to do that. I mean, the CW shows were all wrapping up, and I have a little place in my heart for Gotham Knights, even. I think that show was kind of better than people were expecting it to be. It had such an uphill battle from the beginning because people didn't like the trailer. And I don't know if people were too keen on the setup of it. But I think, I think one thing that the CW shows do well is casting. Like you were mentioning with Lois and Clark, I think with Gotham Knights, it was the same way. I think the cast was pretty good. I would have liked to have seen it go on. But like you said, you know, we've got things to look forward to, you know, now in the future. Hopefully this year we'll get Creature Commandos and, you know, get more of the...
Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, the DC animation that is just, you know, that they just... Nothing can touch it.
Harley Quinn Season 5?
Yep, and Harley Quinn Season 4 was a lot of fun. And now I did see Mary Little Batman, and you're right, it wasn't what I was expecting. But I really liked it. I liked the voice cast. I liked the idea of a bearded Batman just because. I think
that was great.
Discussing, yeah, why does he have a beard? And that was funny. I like to see Damian Wayne become more and more entrenched in the consciousness of the people outside of DC fandom now. I think that's kind of fun. I think if you are listening, watching this, and you haven't watched Mary Little Batman, give it a chance. Let your kids watch it, even though it's, you know, like you said, it is slightly dark in parts, but it's a pretty unique DC experience. It's not tied to any other TV shows or any of the comics. It's its own thing, and it's, yeah, so that's fun too. And now we're going to talk about the origin, why we're all here, really, and that is comics. What was some of your favorite DC moments in comics? Wow.
Where to even begin? What a year. Whatever else may be said, people might not like the movies or whatever else, or the TV shows, but DC Comics as a whole, their output has been phenomenal. The 800th issues of Wonder Woman and The Flash. I'm really sad, though, to see amazing writers like Jeremy Adams move from The Flash and Becky Cloonan and Michael W. Conrad move on from Wonder Woman, because their runs, for me at least, were some of the greatest those characters have ever had in their own books. I loved every second. A few issues into Tom King's run, again, he's doing his classic slow burn thing. I think those issues will read far better when collected in a graphic novel, but it's intriguing. It's different. A War Against the Amazons. Yeah, that's cool. I can give it a go. I haven't read any new Flashes yet, but obviously when I share the books with the writing team, I do have to like scan them, and the artwork is absolutely beautiful in the new Flash one. It looks incredible, so I will be catching up with that in the next few weeks. But you and I, we're old school, we're Vertigo fans. The two Sandman Universe books that came out this year, Dead Boy Detectives and the second installment of Nightmare Country and The Glass House. Wow. Just wow. A Pawnsack Picture Chote and James Tynan IV. Their writing is just awesome because they again managed to breathe new life into these characters and situations by still honoring and admiring and homaging everything that's gone before. I mean, I just know that the final volume of Nightmare Country out in 2024 has already put dream and desire on a collision course. And by the looks of things, possibly despair as well. And if that happens, how can destiny and death not get involved? This is going to be a war of the endless. And if that happens, whew. And we also have to talk about the one guy now who's now signed a DC exclusive contract and who is writing month after month comics that I am in love with, Mr. Tom Taylor. Nightwing, Titans, the whole Beast War event. Sometimes events grate me and they get on my nerves, but the things he's doing are innovative and, more importantly, and this is his trademark, huge fun. They're just fun. He's adding like Silver Age sensibilities with 21st century characterization and drama. He's working with the best artists in the business. I mean, the return of Ivan Reis again. Who's going to argue with that? Absolutely fantastic. Can't knock it. And obviously with Dan DiDio leaving DC, the return of writers like Andy Diggle, who's going to be doing a Batman Gotham by Gaslight series. What the hell? That's got me so pumped. And Mark Waid, his work on World's Finest and World's Finest Teen Titans, again, it's all the silly comics we grew up with, but brought up to date, with the gorgeous art of Dan Mora, and bringing back the whole Kingdom Come universe. DC Comics have been on fire. And we could talk about the young adult graphic novels till the cows come home. So I'll leave it there because I could go on all day when it comes to the comics. What about you, brother?
Well, you started out with what I was going to mention, of course, was Nightmare Country and Dead Boy Detectives. Anything involving the Sandman universe, I'm there. And it's pretty amazing that DC hasn't dropped the ball. And I just say that because it's the Sandman universe. I mean, that is almost the holy grail of comics. So getting in and mixing up...
It's the gold standard, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like somebody getting in. It's like doing, you know, a Watchmen series. You know, that's... As we saw with before Watchmen, to varying degrees. But the Sandman books have all been good, and I can't wait to read the collected edition of... I have the Dead Boy Detectives that just came out. But when the new Nightmare Country comes out... And you're right, Tom Taylor is just knocks it out of the park. You know, I've been a fan since Injustice, which we talked about at length on this podcast.
Talk about the good stuff here, folks. We only talk about the good stuff.
And I like the One Bad Day villain books that
came
out.
How could I forget those? Oh my god, yeah, they're fantastic. Well, yeah. Some of them were less fantastic than others, but Riddler, overall, Russell Gull, Clayface, wow.
Yeah. The Clayface one might have been my favorite. But I really enjoyed those. I liked the Deadly Duo, Batman, Joker.
Oh,
Deadly Duo was fun.
It just stunning seemed, to look at, yeah.
You know, I read the collected edition. And it just felt like I was experiencing the comic book version of a super high budget movie. The art was incredible. Everything with how it was presented was top notch. So I really enjoyed that. And I almost finished, but I really like what I've read of Danger Street so far.
Oh, yeah.
That seems like such a unique story.
So movie. Fun. And so. Yeah, surreal and ridiculous and awesome.
Yeah. So I think that's been my favorites as far as the DC books have gone.
You've reminded me of one other. Have you read the DC Christmas special?
No.
The Night Before Christmas. People, if you want to pick up just one little comic as a late gift to yourself, pick this up because it's a DC anthology, which we rave about all the time. And it's fun and it's great. But there's one story in particular, a Superman story, again, by Michael W. Conrad. That story alone is worth the price of this book. Pick it up. It's fantastic. Really, really good.
Oh, and another thing is I enjoyed the Death of the Family. Issue. That was...
Putting them side by side was crazy.
Yeah. And I hope that DC has more stuff in the vault that they can... That seems like a very obvious one because they had to have it, you know, because of they didn't know who was gonna win in the vote. But that would be a fun thing to have them release other takes on comics. So I hope that we can see more of that. for sure. So, and what about in the world of toys, games? Is there anything that you've seen that piqued your interest?
Well, again, because I'm just a comics obsessive, it's not something that I actually spend money on. But we've seen some fantastic volumes released from our friends at Insight Editions and at Penguin Random House, and some great Batman encyclopedias and DC encyclopedias. But the one game that really piqued my interest, because obviously Adam, my offspring, my cub, seeing the release of the Arkham games on the Switch, finally, with new stuff. And like we mentioned, with some of the missions you had to get separately with the original releases, awesome. Because even though I'm not good at video games, I don't play video games, I can spend hours watching Adam being Batman, swinging around, punching out the bad guys, driving the Batmobile. Because with the Switch, it just blows my mind that it's a handheld, but you can plug it into the TV, and it's a full quality console as well. So that blew my mind. And obviously we get press releases from McFarlane Toys and from Sideshow Collectibles for the site. And if I could afford them, some of the things these guys are producing are mind-blowing. Sideshow statues are stunning. Absolutely top-notch quality. And I honestly think, because of the quality, I don't think they're that overpriced, but they are beyond my budget. But when you see McFarlane Toys expanding their Superpowers line, which I grew up with originally, and doing it in a way that is both brand new, with brand new characters that still looks exactly the same and fits the aesthetic of the original Superpowers line, all I can do is go, wow. And now, yes, people, I know that the pinnacle of all animation is Batman the Animated Series, but if you grew up in the 70s and the early 80s like I did, seeing a toy range from McFarlane based on the new adventures of Batman, and again, they are exactly like the animated characters, just filled my old nostalgic Batman-loving heart with joy. So as a collector, again, 2023 delivered a wealth, a treasure trove of fantastic releases. Absolutely mind-blowing. What did you make of it?
Yeah, great minds. Because that was one thing that I wanted to talk about, was the Arkham games on the Switch. It's just such a good idea to have everything there in one spot. All the DLCs, you can play all the extra missions. It's such a great idea. And it's such a great intro for people who have never played the games. And they're great games. They're some of my favorite video games of all time. So that was just great to see. And the Superpowers line, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I grew up with. And seeing like the Peacemaker and the Vigilante figures, like, man, I wish I had
them. Right.
When I was a kid playing with action figures, I would have loved to have either of those. So that was really cool to see. And yeah, McFarlane is just knocking it out of the park. The characters that they choose to use in the multiverse line, it's just such smart decisions, and the sculpting is just incredible. You cannot go wrong. And the same way with the Sideshow statues. You know, if you have the money, get it, because there's no better out there than those statues. I mean, really, it's just absolutely incredible. Yeah. So, and there was, and you know, I was thinking about your son on my newsfeed. I keep getting these pop-up ads for a Batman tabletop game that came out this year. So I forget what it
is.
He probably got it. I just wondered if he'd played that. But so you know, I don't collect the toys, but I love living vicariously and just seeing what's
absolutely
out there.
Absolutely. Me too.
Incredible. It's incredible. And you know, now that we have talked about 2023, what are you looking forward to this coming year as far as DC goes?
Obviously more news from the James Gunn camp about what's coming next. Hopefully an official release date for Creature Commandos, because now that Doom Patrol and Titans have gone, Superman is going after the next mini season. we need DC TV content. We really, really do. So I'm looking forward to news from that side. I'm looking forward to another year of incredible comics. Again, this year they've smashed it. They've barely stepped a foot wrong. And while I do miss Michael Conrad and Becky Cloonan on Wonder Woman, while I really miss Jeremy Adams on The Flash, I'm sure that DC have picked the best teams possible. And while I'm slowly getting into Tom King's story on Wonder Woman, Daniel Samper's art is unbelievably good. So good on Wonder Woman. He was born to draw this character. He's just killing it. So I can't knock that. I'm looking forward to the final volume, of course, of Nightmare Country. I'm looking forward to seeing Dream finally, after millennia, I mean, billions of years, actually, since the beginning of time, when Dream and Desire were the closest of the siblings, until that betrayal. And Desire's constant interfering in Dream's love life, to the point where, at the end, the whole Daniel scenario happened directly down to Desire's interference. And the fact that they're still doing it, I want to find out who the smiling man is. So much good stuff to come. I'm just super, super duper excited. More movies, more TV, more comics, more young adult graphic novels. Yeah.
For me, it's going to be a mellow year as far as movie and TV content. I would love to, like you said, get a release date for Creature Commandos. I would love to see if the second season of Sandman would possibly come out this year.
Oh, that'd be great news.
You know, I would love to see that happen. So I think this year's going to be very interesting in the comics world, because it's kind of, you know, they're not tied into doing movie tie-ins. In those series, they can kind of, they have their kind of free reign to have a little fun and just do some crazy stuff with comics. And that's what DC's great at. I am looking forward to the collected edition of Tom King's Wonder Woman, because I think, like you said, it's going to be something that will be better read as a graphic novel.
His stuff always works better collected, doesn't it, than monthly. It's almost torture reading his work monthly.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens as far as big crossover events this year. So that's always fun. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun year. And also, definitely looking forward to any news we get from James Gunn and other projects moving forward. You know, they hit the ground running after the strike, so, you know, let's keep going. I'm looking forward to that. I might be the only person to say this, but I'm looking forward to Suicide Squad versus the Justice League, or Kills the Justice League.
Why would you be the only person saying it? I've seen it looks great.
Yeah, it looks great, but it's not the typical Rocksteady game. The way it's more of a multiplayer thing, and there's been some complaints, and people are getting a little tired of the delays, and you know, so we'll see. But it has a little bit of an uphill battle, unless it comes out and it's really great. So we'll see. But I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Outstanding. Yeah. Well, obviously, it's the end of the year. We've just celebrated the holiday season. I mean, you must have got some lovely DC-related goodies in your stocking this year.
I got the 2, 3, and 4 volumes of the new Nightwing, which I didn't have.
Oh,
I
so had good.
Volume 1, which I loved. So now 2 and 3 in hardcover, and then the Fear State in paperback. But I mean, I forgot to mention that we were talking comics. I mean, that's one of the best superhero runs since Jason Aaron's Thor. Yeah, ever. Yeah. Yeah, which I think, you know, so yeah, it's been so creative, so heartfelt. Just, I mean, it's great. Comics, I don't think comics get better than what Nightwing is doing.
Pure comics entertainment. I mean, it's superheroes, granted, but when they're done that well, I get all the art I need from writers like James Tynion and Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman. When I want proper comics entertainment, people like Tom King and Mark Waid are your first stop shops.
I love that Mark Waid came back.
Oh,
he'd been too long.
Oh yeah,
that's good.
So good.
Yeah, the world's finest has been great.
World's finest. That's what it's been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Good point. Good point. Yeah.
Right. As for me, you're going to love this. I have now boxed and filed, bagged and boarded my entire individual issue run of all my Sandman comics. Because I don't know how they did it, because both volumes were out of print. Adam and Jackie managed to track me down the collected edition of Neil Gaiman's original 4 books of magic.
Oh, yeah.
And that blew my mind. But I didn't realize until a few months ago, because I've been searching for this book for about 20 years ago, and I knew it was out of print because I tried to find it, and one guy was asking like £80, like $90 for it, and I just can't justify that for a thin little digest manga comic. But they also found me Jill Thompson's Dead Boy Detectives manga.
Well, I didn't even know
which
that.
Which goes, yeah, it goes with the Death at Death's Door book.
Yeah.
And so now I've got all 4 Jill Thompson Sandman official books and the entire Sandman run in book form. So all my originals can go be filed and saved and eventually maybe sold. So, but I've still got them that I can read in big, gorgeous volumes. So Christmas was very kind to me.
Nice. Oh, that's something else I'm looking forward to. It's coming here. You're talking about Sandman is forget who wrote them now, but they're reprinting the I think it was Death and Delirium books.
The ones from the 90s.
Yes, yeah. So I'm looking forward to getting those reprinted because I've never read them. I never had them, so that's going to be something that's
not even Neil Gaiman's original Death ones. The Time of Your Life and the High Cost of the
Planet. No, those I've read, but the yeah. There's those. They almost look like kids' books,
mm-hmm.
illustrated. You're the one who told me how they're.
Oh, Jill Thompson. Yes, yeah, it's Little Endless and Delirium.
A little. Party. You're right. Right.
Yes, yeah, they're re-releasing those. Oh, you're going to love them.
Yeah, I have not. I mean,
the continuity is totally shot. But as Neil Gaiman infinitely says, stories are stories. And as Titania said in The Midsummer Night's Dreams, these things never happened, yet they are true. Okay. And that's what you'll find, because you will read these. You'll look at the art and just go, oh, wow. And you read the stories and you just go, oh, these are the books you want to give your kids. And then when they're teenagers, you'll give them the real Sandman as well. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those 2 Jill Thompson books, fully painted, gorgeous, charming. Yeah. Oh, you're in for a treat. You've never read them before?
No.
Oh, you're in for a treat. You're in for a real treat, my brother. I can't wait. You're going to message me the second you've read them and say, Steve, come on. How did I miss these?
Yeah. Oh, I know. I will. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that too. I think those are out in April or March. So yeah
I may get that box set myself so I can put away my originals too.
Yeah.
Because the prices those are going for on eBay and stuff is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
It's bonkers. So yeah, getting them collected. I mean, I don't know why they waited this long. And if they, I pray. Now that they're doing those, if they do the Dead Boy Detectives and At Death's Door in the same, like, a standard American size format and get a genius like Brad Anderson or Jordi Belair or Tomoe Morate to colour them, dude, those would be amazing as well. So if you're listening, DC, At Death's Door, Dead Boy Detectives by Jill Thompson, re-release those 2, please, because Brad needs to read them, because Brad is a good man.
Yeah, I do, yeah. At Death's Door, I have... I do have an original copy of that.
Great,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But the Dead Boy Detectives is definitely something I...
It's in the same vein. And you know that the kids can see the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go into a girls' school in the UK to investigate the disappearance of a girl. So they have to dress as girls.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun from cover to cover. You'll love it.
Which... Also, is one thing that I forgot to mention as far as TV goes is the Dead Boy Detective show. That's
yes, that's for this year as well, isn't it? Yeah.
So that's definitely something I'm looking forward to too. So yeah, it looks like we've had a good year of DC content and Absolutely. Stuff to look forward to, you know, in the coming year. So, Steve, is there anything else you want to say to wrap up 2023?
One thing. If you're visiting the UK or if you're a UK DC Comics fan, the incredible Park Row restaurant has officially won its first Michelin star.
Oh, wow.
So we knew the place was great. This proves it. If you get a chance to visit, go. Seth went with his wife last night and was blown away. People, if you come into the UK, if you live in the UK, it's not cheap, but it's Michelin star. The food you're going to get, the wine pairings, if you don't drink, the non-alcoholic drink pairings will blow your mind. Go to the Monarch Theatre, go to the full 10-course taster experience with a theatrical interactive show, because it is incredible. Or just go for breakfast or for brunch. If you're a sushi fan, there's also the Iceberg Lounge, but that's new. And I've heard it's had a few teething problems. A friend of mine, Aaron's come over from America, and he didn't enjoy it as much. He loved the food, but he didn't think the drinks pairings worked. So go for the main Monarch Theatre and Park Row restaurant and you will not be disappointed. And the venue itself, well, put it this way, you walk through the doors of this restaurant and you're confronted with a massive bookcase. Now, I feel sorry for the poor concierge, for the poor guy who's there to welcome you and greet you and tell you about the history of Batman and the DC Universe, because I just saw Shakespeare. And we've all seen Adam West's Batman and how he gets into the Batcave by lifting Shakespeare's head. You walk into this place, pick up Shakespeare, that whole bookcase opens up and leads you to the Batcave, to the restaurant underground. When you get greeted like that, you just know it's only going to get better. So visitors to the UK, people who live in the UK, DC fans, check that place out.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of the DC Comics News podcast. Before we go, Steve, where can people find you online, read your work?
I am everywhere. Google Steve J. Ray or Fantastic Universes or Steve J. Ray's Fantastic Universes. That'll take you to just about everything I write, everything I've done, all my news reviews, features and interviews across DC Comics News, Dark Knight News and Fantastic Universes. Chat to me on X or Xcreet or whatever they do on that new site. I'll forever know it as Twitter at lstevo, ELSTEEVO. Follow Dark Knight News, follow DC Comics News, follow Fantastic Universes. And you'll also read great work from my friend, Brad Felicki. Where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me writing news reviews, DC Comics News, occasionally writing reviews here and there for us. Josh's site, Mark with the Movie Blog. You can hear me on this podcast, and sometimes I Am the Night, the Batman animated series.
More of that to come next year, my friend.
Yeah. So, and you can follow me on X or whatever it's called now, FlickyB1. And with that, we'd like to inform everybody at the end of these episodes what they should be doing. And that is to
read more comics. Our powers are strong.
All right. See you in 2024, everybody.